Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Welcome to 5 to Thrive Live. We are here to help you thrive. I'm Carolyn Gazella, and I co-host 5 to Thrive Live with my good friend, Dr. Lise Alschuler. Well, the holidays are almost upon us, and I'm not sure if you are like me, but sometimes during the holidays, I don't eat as healthy as I would like to. So we're going to get some practical advice about healthy eating this holiday season. But first, I'd like to thank the sponsors who make this series possible. Setria glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant and the body's primary defense against free radicals. Setria is a patented form of glutathione that has been clinically proven to raise blood glutathione levels. For more information, visit setriaglutathione.com. Afia Plus is the newest tool in the fight to restore cellular health and function. This patented formulation contains the impressive herb Arum palestinum and has been developed by Hyatt Life Sciences. To learn more, visit HyattLifeSciences.com. Also, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. It's a best-selling probiotic for more than 30 years, and it contains 12 probiotic strains that are shelf-stable, so no refrigeration is required because of a unique 3-year fermentation process. It's a very effective probiotic. Learn more at DrO'HaraProbiotics.com. And of course, the iThrive plan, which helps survivors create online, personalized, physician-approved wellness plans. The iThrive plan turns scientific information into personal transformation, and it's absolutely free. Learn more at iThrivePlan.com. Well, tonight, I have to tell you, I have the perfect expert to help us with this topic. Dr. Sheila Dean is the co-founder of the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy and an adjunct professor at several universities where she teaches healthcare practitioners about integrative and functional nutrition. Dr. Dean, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and it's an important topic. So let's try to help people stay on track this holiday season. But before we dig into today's topic, do you have kind of an overarching philosophy about nutrition that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, that's a great question. In this day and age, although I am a big believer of eating a whole foods, plant-based diet, I'm also a big advocate of what I would call food cleanliness, right? And what I mean by that is avoiding things like xenoestrogens, these substances in the environment and in our foods that can disrupt our hormones, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, heavy metals, these things that accumulate in the human body and they interfere with body function, right? Like I said, especially hormone health, which is really important. And so a whole foods plant-based diet will, you know, generally keep insulin levels low, also ultimately keeping body fat levels low. And overall, that I feel like that is, you know, focusing on a food cleanliness, I think, is really important. Focusing on keeping a healthy plant-based diet so we can keep our insulin levels low, keep our body fat low, because that can lead to all sorts of problems, especially increases in various enzymes like aromatase that interferes with testosterone, becoming estrogen. So that's probably my overarching philosophy is keep the food cleanliness, at the top of the list there, and keeping insulin levels low.
I love that. And I have to say that I love the term food cleanliness. You know, I've heard about clean foods and, you know, obviously we talk a lot about organic foods and reading labels and, you know, mm-hmm. fresh is best and things like that. But I love that that's at the top of your list when it comes to your philosophy, because I think it's so important. I think we're at that next level now where we need to be mm-hmm. looking at the quality of our foods.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, the next level. For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just dig in. The holidays are coming up over the next, you know, however many weeks. Mm-hmm. Why are the holidays so challenging when it comes to our diet?
Right, right. Well, keep in mind that, you know, the holidays are, you know, just a few days out of the year. And the majority of the time, you know, we have all kinds of opportunities to really focus on healthy eating. And so I don't like people to get overly focused on just a few days. In other words, I want people to enjoy their holiday time, to enjoy, you know, the wonderful food and the bounties. But generally speaking, it's challenging because, you know, it's just of the unusually high number of calorie, carbohydrate, and processed food that we're eating. You know, more caffeine, more soda, more alcohol. So that can just become very challenging.
Yeah, so you've mentioned some of the things. I've been writing them down. So increased calories, mm-hmm. increased carbs, increased alcohol, soda, processed foods.
Yeah, I mean, think about what they drink all day long. I mean, caffeine for breakfast, soda at lunch, alcohol at dinner, you know, and that times 10 during the holidays. So that alone, just, you know, the what they're drinking, let alone what they're eating, can make things really challenging.
And what about fat and sugar?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, you know, it's definitely a time where we're eating an unusually high number of calorie and carbohydrate and processed food, including foods that are sort of high fat, high sugar. So you know, that's one of the reasons why it can be so challenging is because we are, you know, not really eating our normal diet. You know, you go to the office and people are bringing in extra food that normally isn't there and desserts and these sorts of things. So it can become very challenging.
Yeah, I know that for myself. You know, I'm not normally a dessert person, but boy, I'll tell you, around the holidays, all of a sudden, I'm a dessert person, you know. And then, you know, I try to limit the quantity of foods and the, you know, big meals and things like that. But all of a sudden, around the holidays, I'm, you know, eating this big, you know, meal. And it does. It provides us with some challenges. So let's talk about some proactive things that we can do during the holiday season. So what's your number one most important piece of advice that you can give us?
Well, I'm going to say that one of the top things that I like to recommend is to make a plan, because if you plan to fail, if you fail to plan, you're probably going to fail your diet. So I think you got to think about where you're going to be, who you're going to be with, you know, what foods might be available, what foods are really special to you that you really want to eat, you know, versus those that you could probably do without. Identifying what your personal triggers to overeating are and what you can do ahead of time to minimize them, right? So the key word is to make a plan ahead of time. And then once you've thought about all of these things, you can think it through, make a plan, because it's much easier to deal with a difficult social eating situation if you've already planned for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you mentioned triggers to overeating. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of what people have as triggers?
Yeah, well, I mean, and triggers can be accentuated under certain circumstances. So, for example, a trigger, you know, especially if you've had too much to drink, suddenly all those desserts that we were just talking about can be triggers. But then also, for example, just the smells and the colors and all those things that the beautiful food. I mean, these can be triggers. Also the stress, you know, the stress of planning. And then right now with what we're going through, dealing with, you know, are we having family members over? How are we dealing with this? I mean, all of these things can be triggers and can cause us to stress eat and worry and anxiety, which ultimately can lead to overeating for some individuals.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about stress, because I think after we, you know, get through the diet part and this advice part, I want to talk about our lifestyle and the stress kind of bubbles to the top there. But is there anything else that we can? I think your advice to make a plan is a good one. So think ahead, so as not to set yourself up for failure. You know, set yourself up for success. Anything else that should be on people's radar?
Yeah, well, you know, when people come to me, I generally like to also tell them to look, this is not really the time to focus on weight loss. If you can get out of the holidays just maintaining your weight rather than trying to lose weight, I would consider that pretty successful, right? So if you are currently overweight and want to lose weight, this is just not the time to do it. So maintenance of your present weight is really a big enough challenge during this holiday season. So I would say don't set yourself up for failure by making, you know, unrealistic goals for yourself, but do try to watch your portions, maybe treat yourself to a nice drink, a nice dessert, you know, some chocolate or sweets without guilt, but you got to watch your portions. You do want to go for smaller portions. That way, you know, you can sample all the different foods, you know, be moderate about it. I would also say that, now this might come as a surprise, okay, but I would plan on not dieting after the new year. And the reason I say that is because I feel like the anticipation of food restriction after the new year just sets you up for this binge type eating over the holidays, right? Like, for example, you think to yourself, well, if I'm never going to eat, going to let myself eat this again after January 1st, I might as well eat as much as I can now. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of subtle. So you kind of go a little nuts now thinking that you're going to diet after the new year, but you don't want to think that way. And besides, those kinds of overly restrictive diets don't always work in the long run. So I would say don't set yourself up with thinking that you're just going to go on a diet after the new year. And the last thing I would say is to avoid what I would call recreational eating. In other words, at parties and holiday dinners, you know, we tend to eat or keep eating beyond our body's physical hunger simply just because the food is there, right? And eating is a social thing. So maybe to avoid the recreational eating, maybe just try to consciously make one plate of the foods you really want, right? Eat it slowly, enjoy it, really savor every tasty bite. And when you're done, maybe pop a mint or a stick of gum in your mouth, or just get a tall glass of water and, you know, sort of sip on it, and maybe position yourself away from the buffet table and the food trays just to kind of keep yourself from overeating. So,
yeah, and
some other ideas.
Those are great ideas. And I love the idea about not putting yourself on this strict diet, because I totally get that. And I've done it in the past where it's like, oh, well, I'm going to be dieting in January, so I better fill up now. You know, I mean, mentally, it just like gets in your head.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, we were talking about beverages earlier. You know, please, you got to choose your beverages wisely. Alcohol is high in calories. I mean, liquor, sweet wine, sweet mixed drinks, these can contain up to, you know, 300-400 calories per glass. Right. So if you do want to drink, maybe select lighter wines, beers, maybe non-alcoholic mixers, maybe limiting your intake to just one or two drinks per occasion. So, yeah, you really got to watch out for calories in your drinks and soda, fruit punch, eggnog. Right. Mm-hmm. And remember that alcohol and coffee can dehydrate your body.
Yeah. Good point. So drink lots of water. That's a great advice. And you know what? Diet and lifestyle habits do go hand in hand. So I want to focus a little bit about our lifestyle during the holiday season. What should we be looking at and focusing on, and what should be on our radar when it comes to our lifestyle during the holiday season?
Well, I mean, I think I think being as physically active as possible every day during the holidays is really going to help a lot. I know that many students' busy holiday schedules or lack of structured schedules sometimes bump people off their exercise routine. But, you know, physical activity, aerobic activities, brisk walking, jogging, biking, rollerblading, these kinds of things, and maybe indoor swimming, depending on where you live, you know, these can really help relieve stress. They can regulate your appetite, you know, burn up a couple extra calories. And depending on where you live, I know for me, I'm in the Florida area. I love to take nice brisk walks with the family and really enjoy their company during the holiday season.
Yeah, so not only getting yourself out, but getting everybody out, like after a big meal or, you know, whatever. And I love the fact that you're bringing up the added benefits of physical activity, the mental health benefits, and it's probably one of the best, one of the best stress relievers. So let's talk a little bit about stress, because the holidays can be stressful. What are your suggestions on how we can help manage the stress?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, if you can stick to a schedule, I think that's really helpful. I mean, I know that during the holidays, you know, people are going to be a little bit more likely to not exactly adhere to their schedule. But if you can, sticking to your schedule, in other words, staying up until 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, that kind of thing can really throw you off the next day, and that could be very stressful. And then, you know, circling back to the idea of having a plan, I think it just kind of gives you a sense of more perceived control, so that, you know, you're not going into a holiday party starving, and then the next thing you know, you've overeaten, and you come back, and then next thing you know, you're drinking too much, and you get really stressed out. You know, I think that can easily stress somebody out. And if you've had too much to drink, you might oversleep, and it can really stress a person out. So I think, you know, being very careful of your schedule and then staying, like I said, staying as active as possible. I mean, I know that, I think, you know, it goes without saying, you know, whenever we're done with a workout, or even if it's not like a traditional workout, just being active, you always feel so much better. I think, you know, if people are on medications, you know, make sure that you're not coming off your medication. Make sure that you are sort of sticking with that routine. And I'm a real big believer of supplements as well. So if you do take supplements, I would say stick to your regimen. I'm a big fan of probiotic, multivitamins, B-complex, especially for stress.
Okay, so I want to talk about dietary supplements in particular, but before I leave this topic, you're talking about a schedule and you're talking about sleep. Oftentimes, sleep is, you know, we don't get enough of the sleep that we need. Tell us a little bit about what happens to the body when we don't get enough sleep, you know, during the holidays and in other times. What damage can lack of sleep do? And why should we focus so much on sleep? Because I have to tell you, I'm a tiny bit sleep obsessed, and our listeners know that. I love to talk about sleep and getting enough sleep, because it's...
Right. Me too. Yeah. My kids will tell you that too, that I am always obsessed. I'm constantly asking my kids, who are adults now, you know, hey, did you guys get enough sleep? Well, I think that part of what happens when we don't get enough sleep is that, first of all, let me just start by saying that I was at a medical conference not too long ago, and I remember the speaker getting up there saying, sleep is the most powerful anti-inflammatory known to man. You know, and it was a pretty powerful statement. So getting enough sleep is actually a form of an anti-inflammatory, and conversely, chronic lack of sleep or poor sleep hygiene can create inflammation in the body. It can, and one of the ways in which it does that, one of the mechanisms, is that it can start to interfere with your cortisol levels. Cortisol is a stress hormone that's very important for. You know, managing stress, interestingly enough, but when you're chronically stressed, you start to produce high levels of cortisol on a chronic basis rather than just when your body needs it. And that can be very pro-inflammatory, and that can lead to a whole cascade of issues, especially cognitively. So those are some of the issues related to sleep deprivation or poor sleep hygiene, I should say.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned cognitive function and brain, because I'll tell you, some of my favorite, I'm not going to remember the term, but when we're sleeping, there's this process that the brain goes through where it's actually detoxifying the brain. Mm-hmm. So it's a very active time for your body. Your body is working hard while you're sleeping.
It is. And one simple way I sometimes put it to my patients is that sleep is the time when your brain is cooling off. Your brain is cooling off. And if you don't have enough of that, it's truly pro-inflammatory for the brain. The immune system is suppressed, and you can very easily get sick. In fact, it happens a lot. You know, we were talking about students and earlier. A very common phenomenon is when you're sleep deprived, and you're becoming very stressed, cortisol levels are going up, which have, you know, kind of, cortisol is sort of a double-edged sword. It has, it can be helpful and can protect you under certain circumstances, but like I said, when you're chronically producing them, it can also be a problem. Well, what's interesting is then when you then finally go to exhale, because, you know, maybe the exams are over or the holiday is over, don't be shocked if you actually get really sick, because, the immune system has just been really, it's kind of like kicking you when you're down. It's just really stressed, and sometimes you can get real sick right after an intense period of stress. So a regular regimen, sticking to your schedule, sticking to your sleep schedule, I think can really, really keep things balanced and prevent a lot of stress. And, you know, you never know what you prevent when you prevent it. Kind of got to remember that.
Yeah, so true. I mean, and even like you mentioned in the beginning of the show, lack of sleep will put your body into an insulin resistant state. So, I mean,
yes.
You know, sleep is so critical. Okay, so now let's talk about dietary supplements. You mentioned probiotic, multivitamins, B vitamins for stress, and I take a really good comprehensive B vitamin, and for that very reason alone, probiotics, we're big believers in probiotics on this show.
Yeah.
It's a foundational item. I mean, now that we're learning so much about how the gut is connected to everything. So what else? What else when it comes to dietary supplements?
Well, you know, we all have sort of our unique needs. Without, you know, getting into too much detail, I would say, so your baseline would be a really good multivitamin with methylated nutrients, your probiotic. I would even say, I would even add vitamin D to that list and, potentially some fish oils. So your second level, your would probably be some of the, more specific nutrients, that you might need for various conditions, magnesium. Magnesium can be really helpful also for sleep, for cognition, just depends on the type of magnesium that you take, for muscle cramping, for bowel movement. So magnesium can be really, really wonderful. And I know that, all the extra alcohol that sometimes that people drink during the holidays, that can really deplete a person's glutathione levels. Now, glutathione is something that, you know, hopefully your body is making, but can be very easily depleted. And so, after an assessment, if your practitioner feels that it's necessary, glutathione supplementation may be warranted. You know, you can get glutathione by eating a lot of cruciferous vegetables. Your body can produce some glutathione, but, you know, glutathione is a really wonderful thing as far as supplementation is concerned under certain circumstances. So something else to consider.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned glutathione, because obviously we're a big fan of glutathione as well. And one of the things that, I mean, people always think of glutathione as being the master antioxidant, so it's good for the immune system. But one thing that I think they forget is that glutathione is also really important for detoxification and supporting the detoxification system.
Oh.
So you mentioned drinking alcohol, and obviously we don't want people to drink excess alcohol, but tell us a little bit about that detoxification connection with glutathione.
Yeah, well, remember when we started off, I was telling you that one part of my overarching philosophy is the concept of food cleanliness, right? And so there's so much in the environment, including things in our foods, like that can really tax the our detoxification system. And so these xenobiotics, these substances that are not, that don't naturally occur in the human body, these foreign substances, so to speak, and that's the prefix xeno sort of means, refers to foreign, can really tax the liver, our detoxification system. And one of the nice things is that the nutrients from food, from whole foods and from supplements, can really drive detoxification, our phase one, our phase two, or step one or step two, or whatever you want to call it, detoxification pathways, so that those things that we do get exposed to and invariably get exposed to, so that our body can then detoxify them properly. And because, first of all, we don't all detoxify necessarily exactly at the same rate. You know, we now know that different people have different rates of detoxification depending on the very genetic variations that we each have. And so supplementation, a whole foods diet, you know, keeping the diet clean, like, again, food cleanliness, all of these things can help support your body's detoxification process that ultimately leads to, you know, better health, better outcomes.
Yeah, it's such a good point because, you know, the human body is already set up for success. We just need to feed mm-hmm. it properly, especially the detoxification system. I mean, it's a very complex system and we have the means within us. We just need to feed it properly, as I mentioned. So let's talk a little bit about what happens when a person isn't very successful during the holiday season. You know, what if you are starting January 1 and you had kind of a rough holiday season and you kind of fell off the wagon, so to speak? What advice do you have for that person?
You know, I think knowing that, you know, it doesn't, It's again, it's not about what happens from Thanksgiving to January 1st. It's really focusing on what happens from January 1st to Thanksgiving is probably something
to think about.
So, but I mean, it's easy to do some damage in that short period of time. I get it. So, you know, you can do things like, okay, at least try to focus on eating a wholesome breakfast and lunch before you go to those holiday parties, right? I mean, it's not a good idea to arrive at a party famished, as we mentioned before. We'll end up eating faster, we'll eat more when we're hungry, and then not only are you more likely to overeat, but then you're less likely to resist the temptation of eating the higher fat, higher calorie foods. So, you know, eating a piece of fruit, a small cup of organic yogurt or some cheese before you go, you know, might be minimize the damage that might be done. You know, I would also say, look, this is a time that we want to focus on good friends and family, right? So even though food can be a really big part of the season, it doesn't have to be the entire focus. I mean, holidays are a time to, whether we in person or online, reunite with our good friends and family, right? To share laughter, to share cheer, to celebrate, to give thanks. So I think focusing on more on these other holiday pleasures, in addition to the yummy tasty food of the holiday foods, is something to consider. Balance, moderation. You know, it's okay to eat too much once in a while. Just relax, enjoy the holidays, remember, you know, what the season is all about, and maintain perspective. Maintain perspective. You know, overeating a day or two will not make or break your eating plan. You know, it's certainly not going to make you, you know, become obese if it, you know, but it does take days and days and days of overeating to gain weight. So if you, you know, overindulge at a holiday meal, it's okay. Put it behind you. Return to your usual eating plan the next day without any guilt or any, you know, despair.
I love that attitude, Dr. Dean, I have to tell you. And, you know, you're absolutely correct. And you said it at the beginning of the show, it's time to enjoy the holiday time. And now you're reminding us about that at the end of the show. Don't beat yourself up. You know, it's only a few days and you can always, always get back on track. Focus on friends and family, balance, maintaining the perspective. All just really great advice.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm glad that that was helpful.
Yeah, and I want to, where can people find out more about you and your work? Do you have a website that you'd like to share?
I do. People can find out more about myself and my work at ifnacademy.com. That stands for the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy .com. Yeah.
Perfect. ifnacademy.com. I highly recommend that you check it out. Dr. Dean and her team are doing some amazing work in the area of educating healthcare professionals. And you're going to just find a wealth of information on the website, ifnacademy.com. Thanks again, Dr. Dean, for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, that's great. And this does wrap up this episode of 5 to Thrive Live. Once again, I'd like to thank the sponsors, Cetria Glutathione, the master antioxidant, Hyatt Life Sciences, makers of Afia Plus, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, and of course, the I Thrive Plan. May you experience joy, laughter, and love. It's time to thrive, everyone. Have a great night.